Wonderful. I didn't get that. It just sounded like a whole bunch of muddled words. So hopefully you're doing well today. We want to welcome you to our service this morning. Let's give all the glory to God, shall we? Let's thank him for his goodness and the blessing that we have in him. Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to serve you. Thank you for the privilege it is to come together in your house that's designated, set aside for a place of worship, a place of fellowship, a place where we can come together and learn and be open to the leading of your Spirit. We're thankful for that. We just pray, Lord God, that you will have your will and your way in our lives as we give our whole hearts to you. And we just ask your anointing to be upon us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you are able to stand, we're going to sing a few songs this morning in worship and just celebrate the wonderful, amazing grace of God.
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty, so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King of. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done. Brings our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Who shines like the sun in all of its brilliance? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for. I sing for all that you've done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just think about that for a few minutes, will you? God, I did not deserve your love. Man, I didn't deserve that grace, that forgiveness, and yet you gave it so willingly and so freely. It's an incredible thing. when you realize before we were saved, of course, Christ died, but it says while we were yet sinners, which kind of puts a little bit more of a pointedness on it, that he came to die for us. But let's carry it just a little further. Before he even created the world, knowing we would be sinners, needing a Savior, he made us anyway and died for us. I mean, the limit of love doesn't exist for him. There is no limit. And I take it for granted way too often. I don't want to do that. I want to remember the amazing grace of God. And so thankful that he's bestowed it upon all who are willing to receive. Hallelujah. This next song is called Hallelujah, and it expresses that same wonderful thanks for the amazing grace of God. I'll get this right. I'm almost there. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, while you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I'm so thankful that your Holy Spirit impacts me in such a way that I have that song in my heart. And I just think, Lord, yesterday standing at a cross-country meet and just walking around meeting people, and I felt silly. I just had this silly grin. And it was you. And I was looking around thinking, Lord, I don't get it. I mean, this is nothing. This is running. Who likes to do that? And I was just smiling inside. And it dawned on me, it's just you. It's just you. Thank you for that. Thank you when we're in the mundane, normal activity, we smile. Because you're there. It's just you. You make my heart sing. Thank you. Thank you for that peace and that joy. I pray that that peace and joy is experienced by all. All who are here, for sure. All that can't be here, but they're listening in. And all that don't know you, they need to know you. They need to know that smile that makes no real logic sense. It's just like you're there and we just smile. We just sing. I pray that you will help us to reach them, Lord, to know that peace, that joy that only you can give. For the everyday, mundane, normal activities of life, and of course the big, awesome moments and certainly the difficult, challenging ones. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that love that's always present. Well, Lord, we pray for the offering we're about to receive. Thank you for giving us the privilege and the opportunity to give. It's a hard time in this world today. Finances are challenging and difficult. And so I know it's a sacrifice for so many. But I just pray your blessing on each and every one who's given sacrificially to you. For the offering that's already been placed, the ones that will soon be placed, and the ones online. We thank you for it. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As I'm praying, I'm thinking, well, this is kind of weird. I'm talking to God and everybody's listening to me. Sorry, I just got a little bit in there with God for a moment. I hope you have that kind of relationship with him and that you can just hey, God, here I am. Just talk to him. Be real. He's very, very real. And he wants you to be very, very real with him. And it was a strange day. I honestly stopped in my tracks and I was like, what is this? I don't know why I didn't just understand immediately that it's just God's with me and it feels good. I actually had to stop and think about it. Like, why am I smiling? I don't understand. And then it was him and he's just kind of, hey. I'm like, oh, hey. It started with the cross for us. We know that the promise was given long before the creation of our world. But for us, the center of all, and really for everybody, the center is the cross. And so let's sing this one that's so well written about the blood he shed for us at the cross. While we're singing, if you want to bring the offering, you're welcome to do so.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in
As a young boy growing up, I had a weird kind of paradoxical, strange thing happening. Because there was a point in an understanding of God and His love that I knew, even though I wasn't saved until I was a little bit older. But at the same time, I had such insecurity, such doubt about value. And God did a miracle in my life to show that I was worth something. I think we all go through that. We all doubt, we all question our value, our self-worth. And whether this is a deep song spiritually or not, it speaks to my soul that God can make this, meaning me, something special or beautiful. If He can do that for me, He can do it for you. And He has. So this is a song that just brings that out very, very well. That you are beautiful. Don't ever let the enemy steal that from you. Own it because it's true. He doesn't make junk. Amen. Is this the wrong key?
Yep.
That's right, I changed keys. That really ruined the moment, too. We'll bring it back. Thank you. Sorry, last line. We're ready.
all this pain. I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground? Things you made, beautiful things out of the dust. You made beautiful things, you made beautiful things out of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. Make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of us.
Jesus, thank you for making us beautiful, Lord. We are new creations in you. Hallelujah. Set apart for service, sanctified, made for your glory. Hallelujah. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Sing that again.
Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How deep, how wide, how great is your love for me. How deep, how wide, how great is your love for me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's not going to let you leave this place without accepting your value. I don't know who it is, but someone's been really, really questioning God on this. You are valuable. You are beautiful. You are created in the image of God. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy any longer. He has destroyed your identity. He has destroyed what you think is your worth. And it's a lie. You are God's child. You're worth dying for. It's because of you that he has risen. And the grace that you have received is more precious than anything this world can offer. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your story is. But you need to stop listening to those lies from the enemy. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for changing me. For all who have come to you freely in salvation, receiving the gift that cost us everything, we're ready. We're ready to walk with you. Accept who we are in you. Understand the value of your creation, us. Without you, your word says there's not much worth there. There's no righteousness. But with you, it's forever. Forever a child of God. And the world needs to know this truth, that they can come to know you the same as we have. Your love extends to them where they think they have no value, where they think they're not worth it. They are the same as we are. There is no us and them. It's all of us together. May we share this great gift of love and peace and joy unashamedly with our neighbors and our friends and our families, with strangers we haven't even met yet. May we be prepared to give glory to you and love to them through our service. Lord, I pray that your Spirit has freedom to do the miraculous touch that's needed right now, this day, in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you as you're seated this morning. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be together. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for sharing last week. You had a great word. I know I saw you earlier. Where are you hiding now? Where? Oh, okay. I know. I saw him, and I just wanted to publicly say thank you. Tina and I were able to have church on the road. What a cool thing this new 21st century living is, huh? Where you can have church on the road. Man, back in the day, you feel guilty if you traveled on Sunday because you should be at church. Visiting new people, new strange people of other churches, that was always fun. Boy, that church was different. And so there is a joy in doing that, which we probably should still do that, but we had to get home. And so we were able to listen in. So it was a great service. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Good word. Just real quickly, I want to go over some announcements. This is Quiet Bags Day for all of you children. So, yippee, they like that. All right. I don't know what that says. No, I'm just kidding. So, Quiet Bags, if you're wondering what that is, it's basically there's stuff available for children to keep actively engaged with me while they're engaged with papers, with coloring, and stuff like that, too. And so, hopefully, they can multi-purpose, because I try to speak, as I was told years and years ago by a wonderful pastor's wife who was retired. She said, "Oh, Pastor, I love your preaching so much because you only speak on an eighth grade level." And I was like, "Thank you? I don't know." And she laughed. "Oh, that didn't come out right." But it did, because I actually was very intentional about speaking without using words that children shouldn't understand or couldn't understand. And so she was thinking that was a very good thing. And so I've always remembered that, thinking, yeah, I got to make sure I don't go too old in my maturity here. Stay eighth grade. All the eighth graders said amen? Okay. Well, Taco, you too? All right. Awesome. But announcements. I want to point out a very important thing that's rapidly developed, but through prayer and intercession and rapid realization of God's Spirit in this. Tina has stepped down from her secretarial job here at the church, and we are training in Ruthie Smith. Ruthie's in the back. She can wave, say, hey. They can't see you online, so they'll have to wait for that moment somewhere along the way. But Ruthie has agreed to step in to take the role of the office administration part. Pastor Jennifer will still have opportunity to get hours in also, because she was involved in that, and we'll continue. And so it's going to be a little bit different the way it's going to lay out, but that's what's happening there, and I'm thankful that Ruthie is willing to step into that role. She's actually done that before in a previous church, and so she has the experience that will make that an easy transition. So I just wanted to point that out. And just for your benefit of knowing, I don't think it's in the bulletin, but I'm going to be able to take advantage of a gift from the board that was given years ago, about 5 years ago, where they said, Pastor, we know that you like to hunt
We know that your family vacations are precious. So we're going to give you 4 days that are extra from your vacation to go hunting. And I was like, praise God. Hallelujah. Any amens? There we go. I was like, getting worried here. Oh, boy, they're going to take it back. But I'm going to be gone this week I don't want to say however long it takes because that can't be accurate. But I'm going to be gone for a few days hunting for looking for that cow elk that needs to be in my freezer. So I'll be out of the office. So if you're trying to reach me, that'll be tough. But anyway, that's part of the announcement. We good to go on with more? Real Gals meeting this week, Common Ground meeting this week, New Life Activity Day is there, Men's Breakfast. We had a great turnout, our first Men's Breakfast last month, and hopefully we'll have another good turnout, 8 a.m. Saturday, be there or be square. Daylight Savings. What are we going to do? We're going to fall back. So technically you would say this is now what time? 9:30, yeah. So never mind, forget about that announcement. We'll just move on because I want you at Sunday school next week. Well, does that work that way? All of you that come for Sunday school next week, I'm going to be like, hey, welcome. So anyway, Christmas program, we need you. Sign up, be a part of it, and see the sign-up board. Amanda will be a part of that and leading that, so that's awesome. And if you have questions, you can talk to her, board meeting, ladies' coffee, all that good stuff's happening. That's in your bulletin, and that's great. And I have friends visiting today. I want to welcome Shelley. Mike, thanks for being here today. I won't say any more than that. I'm going to be very, very nice and good about this. But we go way back. I mean, she knows the pre-yes to God, I will go into ministry kid that was shy and awkward and whatever you want to say. And I'm still that guy somewhere in there, right? So it's good to have friends visiting once in a while. So bless you guys. And let's go to the Word, shall we? You ready?
Dabbing through the snow in a really ugly shirt.
Right.
Skipping up the aisle, ready what? To do Christmas.
That's
my dabbing shirt.
But that should be a fall shirt, not a Christmas shirt.
No. I got a Christmas present.
Oh.
For everybody that wants to go through camps next year.
Oh.
As of today.
Today.
Not
2 days, it's today.
Today.
Gotcha.
This day, this moment.
Gotcha.
$50 will reserve the camp price of $175 for next year. I want to warn you, though. It will go up steeply by next July if you don't register. It will go up high, like almost to $300.
This is true.
So, thank you. Thank you for supporting me on that. I appreciate
it. I do. Yeah. I support you.
Thank you. I feel blessed.
I agree with you.
Okay. So, $50, all it takes. Get yourself registered. It locks in the price for $175. After that, it will go up incrementally up until the week before camp. This last year, they had to shut it down, actually. Senior teen camp, we had so many kids, they shut it down 4 days early. We couldn't fit any more kids at camp.
The registration shut down, not the camp.
Yeah, not the camp.
They couldn't take more kids.
Thank you.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I understood you.
Because we have so many teenagers.
It's true.
Then they almost had to do it for junior teen camp the following week. So, register early, register often.
Often?
It's kind of like the voting thing, isn't it?
I don't think vote early, vote often.
Anyway.
I don't know if that really works. So.
Okay, but yeah, register early, okay? $50 is all you need. That's it.
That's not even half a tank of gas.
No. Now, if you stop at Taco Bell, that's a lot of gas.
That's true.
So, sorry, I better leave now. I'm sorry. I ruined that. Bye.
I don't know how to take advantage of that kind of gas. So, oh, funny story. On this trip, you know, cross country, it was a good time, right? On the way home, the coach had one of these Bluetooth speakers that they didn't get to use during the warm-ups and stuff. And one of the track or the cross country athletes happened to be a girl. She said, "Hey, can I put my phone on there and use? I'll use the proper G-rated word stinker Okay, is stinkers okay? Can I say that in church? Can I make stinker noises and put it under the seat by the boys? And so we're driving down the highway after we left Riverton, Wyoming, and she just, and they're, hey, knock it off, and they're yelling at each other, and they got in this big thing. The boys are all mad because they were making these noises, and they were afraid of the smell, and it was hilarious. It went on for like 5 minutes until they finally figured out it was a little Bluetooth speaker. They were blaming each other. So thanks, Pastor Jason, for that reminder. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through verse 11. Sometimes we come to church and we're just like almost dreading it. We're like, oh no, what's he going to say this time? This guy has the tendency to really bring it home. You know, I got to wear my steel-toed boots. I got to be worried about all that pressure and that I don't want to feel guilty if I'm not doing things the way I should. So I don't know if I'm going to go, but you're so glad you came today. Amen. You're so thankful. Because I want to encourage you, and you're going to be uplifted, and you're going to walk out here kind of like that old Toyota commercial from many, many years ago where they jump up and click their heels together. Remember that Toyota commercial? All the old people do. Hallelujah. You're going to walk out with a click in your heels because you're going to realize that God's not finished with you yet. You're a work in progress. Don't stress the mistakes and the things that you're worried from, knowing that God isn't finished and he will continue the work that he begun. He will finish what he began in you. And that's the text, or the title, I should say. The text is Philippians 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Isn't it nice to pray for people and be joy-filled because of it? So he's got this joy in his heart as he prays for these people because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So he realizes you guys are with me. We're together. We're a family. We're doing the work of God. Verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is right for me to feel this way, he says, about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for beginning the work in me. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of it, for the call and the voice of your Spirit to bring me to a place of salvation. For all of us, we can pray that prayer together as believers. Thank you for starting something that will not stop, but will continue until it's completed. Thank you for challenging us, yes, as we grow in you and know that we've got more coming. Thank you for not giving up on us, Lord, when we make mistakes. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us when we make bad choices. They're not the same thing. And yet, you will complete what you begun in us. I pray, Lord God, that we will grasp this truth, that we will hold dearly to it and be encouraged by it, and know that we are beautiful, we are created in your image, we are new creations through you, and that we will continue on in our growing until you come or until we pass into your presence. We just thank you for this truth and pray your anointing to encourage us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. God's not finished with you yet. That's not a threat. That almost can be perceived as one, right? I ain't finished with you yet. No, thankfully that's not the impression that he's trying to give here. He's encouraging. He's not giving up. He's going to help you as you commit yourself more to him today than you did yesterday. As you grow in him and as you learn and grow and mature in the faith. And that's good. I remember when my grandpa passed away, It was a difficult time for us as a family, and yet it was also a rejoicing time because we knew that my grandpa was ready to meet Jesus face to face. My Aunt Judy happened to be the one giving care to grandpa in his last days, and he had big, bad, horrible lung issues. We figure most of it was all the chemical he dealt with on the farm before they realized how dangerous it was to your body. That's basically what we perceived as likely what took his life in the end. But Grandpa is having a difficulty, and he knows that his time is short. And one particular day, he asked Judy, "Judy, would you comb my hair for me, please?" And Judy said, "Well, sure, Dad. I'll do that." And so she took the time, and Grandpa had the best comb-over any man has ever had. Because when the wind would blow, the rooster came out, right? All you know the comb over. And it was hilariously wonderful. Just poof, and Grandpa, he could just whip it right back and boom, there it was. And it was awesome. He always had a great comb over, even up to his last days. And so Judy gave the good comb over comb. And Grandpa looked at himself in the mirror that she handed him. And he goes, "Well, that's about as good as it gets." So Grandpa-like. So he went into the other room, and he sat down, and his breathing was getting very, very difficult, very shallow. And he asked my Aunt Judy, "Judy, who are those two guys standing there by the TV?" And Judy said, "Grandpa, there's nobody there." And he said, "Oh, yes, there is." And two angels, we believe, came to get my grandpa to take him home. There are a million stories like that throughout the world. God was finished with Grandpa. He had completed the work that he had begun by taking him home. It was his day. It was a day of rejoicing and glory. It was sadness for us, but not really. Mostly it was rejoicing. But I'm still here. You're still here. We said goodbye to Larry just recently, and when I talked to him in the hospital, he said that he was ready, and I called him the next day, and he goes, "Well, I'm still here. I guess God's not ready for me yet." And we had a little laugh about that, but it wasn't long later that he did pass, and now Larry's with the Lord of glory. He finished the work. I want you to know that you're not done until you're called home, and he will complete the work in you. Whatever it is that means to you as your call of God, you need to grasp and understand it, that God will finish the work in you until he comes for his bride, the church, in what we would call the rapture, or whether you pass from this life because your day has come. He will continue the work in you until that moment. You need to embrace that. You need to own that. You need to be uplifted in that and know that you are a work in progress. I am not the same person I was as an 8-year-old boy. I am not the same person I was as a 16-year-old young man. I am not the same person I was as a 24-year-old parent of 3 children. I'm not, or 25-year-old, you know, we'll get that figured out. So I'm not the same person I was the first time I became a grandparent. I am still Kevin. I'm still Kevin Peterson, growing in faith, but I have changed because of the work of God in me. And you are not the same. You are growing and changing and maturing in faith as you walk with Christ. And I want you to know that that is okay. As a matter of fact, it's not just okay, it's awesome. It's a good thing. Continue to grow in faith. Continue to let God shape and mold you. The things that I do in ministry have changed in some way, shape, or form. My call is to be a preacher of the word, and I have preached in many ways, many capacities. What is your call? Well, God has a call on your life, and you will see that that call brings you into different ways of ministry and experience through life. And you are not the same as you once were, and that's okay. He's not done working on you. Amen. God is faithful, number one. You can trust the plan of God. I want you to turn to 1 Peter And I alluded to this already, but I'm going to bring it out in the Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and through verse 20. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you. Before the foundations of the world began, God had a plan. And as phenomenally difficult as it is to grasp and believe, you're part of the plan. You are part of the plan of God. I mean, that's just like, whoa. First Corinthians chapter 2. I used to joke around about how you can't give God a surprise party, you know. Surprise! Oh, yeah, you knew that was coming. Have you ever tried to surprise God? You just trick him. Ha! Oh, no, he knew I was going to do that. You didn't know I was going to do that, but he knew I was going to do that. Even though I didn't know I was going to do that till I did it. He knew. It's just not fair. But it's awesome. It's not fair, but it's awesome because you know what? He will never be surprised by the difficulty you face or the rejoicing you rejoice in. The moments that you are on the greatest, highest mountaintop in the lowest and the most difficult valleys. That's just who he is. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 60, verse 9. Yet among the mature, that's a message right there. Let's hope I'm part of that. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not for a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood. This is what I was alluding to, guys, from Sunday school class. None of the rulers of the age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Whew, great passage. We often have this discussion about the enemy and how scary and difficult he can be and the attacks, and we pray against the enemy's attacks. And I don't know. I'm just wondering, how often are we giving him way too much credit and not really looking at the true source of most of our troubles, which is our own flesh, right? And then we think that he's so conniving and wise and wonderfully tricky. No, he's not. I mean, if he was so wise, why did he kill Jesus on the cross? Right? He didn't get it. He didn't understand the plan. And it says right here in black and white, right in your own Bibles, that had he understood, he never would have fallen for it. He never would have crucified the Lord of glory on that cross. But because of his ignorance of the plan, he did. And now here we are for eternity having salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Woohoo! Why are you afraid of him? Stop it. I mean, you have the authority of God in you. And he has the plan. You can trust the plan. It's okay. Everything's going accordingly. Trust him. Even when things look like chaos in the flesh, know that God in his spirit understands and knows what's happening and knows how to bring you through. I'm not going to go to the reference, but they can put it on the screen for me. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. It's basically telling us that we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God will take care of you. He will provide what you need in this life. You can trust in him. Put God first. And trust him in all other things as you do. Have faith in God. It is a confidence in action to have faith in God. You know, James addressed some problems when he was writing his letter to the churches that were scattered out from the persecutions. And he talked about faith, and he says, you know, you say you have faith, but I will show you my faith by what I do. And what is it that's so important about doing as far as faith goes? Well, it's not tithing, although tithing's a good thing. All the people that know responsible tithing is good, amen, hallelujah. But that's not it. An unbeliever can tithe, right? It's not doing good things, you know, helping that person on the side of the road. Worldly people do that. As a matter of fact, if you really want to be loved and accepted without any kind of attachments or feelings of judgment, I'll tell you where you can go and find the easiest possible way to get included and welcomed. Go to the bar. It's a shallow acceptance. It's not a real acceptance. It's a smoke and mirrors acceptance. It won't bring you through into eternity kind of acceptance, but you'll feel good. And I think, honestly, guys, gals, we can learn from them. We can learn from the world on how to treat each other with love and respect without judgment. Amen? It's pretty sad when worldly people do it better than we do sometimes. Nevertheless, faith in action, confidence in action, is to express the character of God. The world cannot mimic that. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Christ. And when you can really, genuinely, honestly reveal to your world, that means your life day in and day out, the character of Christ, then you've figured it out. You've got it. You understand. You are all in with Him. And that's a beautiful thing. So your faith in God, as you realize He is in control, He is faithful, you will begin revealing the character of Christ through your life. And that is a beautiful thing. Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. You'll like this one. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can put your hope in Him. He is faithful. Hallelujah. There's a story about a kid that was poor that got a present for Christmas, and he was so excited because he thought the present was the wrapping paper. It was beautiful wrapping paper, and he was like, oh, this is amazing. And they're like, wait a minute, that's not the present. The present is in the box. I think sometimes we get so overjoyed by the idea of salvation that we grab the wrapping paper and think we've got it. And we haven't even grabbed on to the real gift of Him. Don't just take the wrapping paper. Take the whole package. Think about Moses' life. Moses didn't live an easy life. And yet we know that he's included in those that who are considered righteous. We think about Joseph and all that he went through, the turmoil, the betrayal, the imprisonment, falsely, all these terrible things, and yet God put him exactly where He wanted him to be. You can trust Him. God will protect you through it. He is faithful. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den for doing what? For obeying God rather than man. It just doesn't seem right, and yet he was there. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, same story. And then a fourth person shows up who we believe was somehow the presence of Christ Himself, that He's in this fiery furnace with them. Well, guess what? When you follow God, there are difficult days where your faith is tested. And yet in it all, you still have peace and joy and love, and you express the character of God who is in you through it. If you start believing that if you're a follower of God, life is easy, then you're getting sold the wrong goods. That's not salvation. That's some other thing. I don't even know what you call that. But it's false. That doesn't mean living for God is painful and miserable. It's actually quite wonderful. It's awesome. It's beautiful and all those things, yes. And yet the circumstance doesn't matter. You can have the flat tire on Interstate and still rejoice in God. I don't know if anybody just had one, but for some reason that came to mind, which is really kind of a bummer of a day, right? I mean, who wants a flat tire on Interstate? That's no fun. And yet, we can have joy. So he will protect you. He's faithful and he will protect you. No outside force will take you away from God's love or his plan for you. I skipped from Romans 8:26 all the way up to 37 when I read that passage. There's so much that's there, and I want to go back and read it, read the full thing. So I'll go back to verse 26 because it's hard not to look at it all. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." Aren't you thankful for that? I know, men, we're never weak. We're always strong. Come on, do the little grunt with me. Yeah, that's me. Always strong. At least that's what I want you to think. We have weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And I've been there. I'm like clueless, Lord. I don't even know how to pray. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Whew. I don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit does. That's one of the beautiful things I believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The ability to pray in tongues is to pray the perfect will of God. I am out of the way when I pray his words. That's what's beautiful for me about that. And I don't give public expressions of tongues very, very rarely. I usually just get right to the heart and do a prophetic word and just give what the Lord gave me in my heart, and I speak English, so that's what I speak. It doesn't have to be that way. That's just what God chooses to do with me. But when I don't know how to pray, he does. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Really, Lord? I mean, the most horrible, difficult, tragic thing in this entire word, somehow you can make good from this? Yes. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's a hard one, but it's true. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? Well, this is the bottom line. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. I mean, what are you afraid of? If God's in you, with you, for you, then you can walk with an authority that comes from him. Even in your weakness, he is strong. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Well, okay, now that's fun. We're all like, yee-hee, nothing can stop me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm all powerful. But God can. God's the judge. Oh, yeah. That's right. So the enemy, not afraid of him. Yes, there is a little healthy fear here. Wait till Dad finds out. Right? Remember those feelings? Just wait till your father comes home. Like, no, not that. Right? I mean, that was my childhood. It was like, if Mom couldn't quite take on that whatever, then Dad, he took care of whatever. You know what I mean? And that was fine. That was the way it worked, and it worked well. Well, God is the one we should be fearing and loving at the same time. That's a beautiful, complex, wonderful thing. God who justifies, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's the one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, short answer, nothing. Tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Maybe. Nope. Never mind. Famine, I'm really hungry. I should preach till 1 o'clock once, see how that goes. Maybe not. Hunger, we're not saying, that's just hungry. That's not famine. Can famine literally take you away from God's love? No. Nakedness, danger, sword. How about sword? Sword's bad. No. As a matter of fact, so many people in the earliest of the church's days died because of their faith in him. They did experience the sword. They experienced the famine. They experienced the poverty. They experienced all the persecution that we only read about. And yet they never were separated from the love of God. As it's written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's where I was leading back to. For I am sure that neither death nor life. Why didn't he say life first? Maybe that was a translation problem. I don't know. But the reality is, death cannot separate you from the love of God. Why do we fear death? We do. And sometimes we battle it when we should just say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Grandpa was ready. He slicked his hair back. Bring it on. He didn't say that because that's not his words. But I did like what he said. That's about as good as it gets. That was good. Grandpa, he was a little rebel when he was young. He found Jesus, and then he was a rebel for Jesus. Sometimes I clap in church just for Grandpa. Here's Grandpa's claps. It was random. I loved it. I used to try. I was like, come on. Yeah. Ooh, ooh, right, yeah. Because he's always sitting right over here for me. He's here, and I'm back there. Yeah, I'm by Gail. And he's, yeah, kind of by Pat. That was the angle. That was every Sunday because, you know, we all own our own pews, right? Boy, if he really got going, he was kind of like this. Huh? I don't know what that has to do with anything, but God brought him home. And when he brought him home, he never felt the lack of love. It never left him. And neither will it leave you. No outside force can take you away from his love and his plan for your life. Only you have the authority to walk away from him if you believe that's possible. And it's hard for me to believe it's possible if you've actually known him. I get the debate. Once saved, always saved. Yeah, I don't agree with the theory and the doctrine, and yet at the same time, I think, what fool would ever walk away from that? How could you be so foolish as to do so? Well, if you were so foolish, I believe you've committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and good riddance, you're gone. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Because there is such a thing as a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. To know him and to walk away from him truly, fully, and to lie about the saving grace that you know is true. Don't walk there, friend. It's a dangerous path. But no one can separate you from his love. Galatians chapter 4. I got to rapidly go through some verses here. This is supposed to be really encouraging. I hope you're feeling encouraged right now. Sometimes those challenges just slip in there. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. To redeem those who were under the law so we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And of a son, then an heir through God. Wonderful truth. Romans chapter 8, going back there once again. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. You are a child of God. The Spirit of God should be resonating in your spirit that this is true. He will protect you. You are family. You're part of the family. You will not be separated. The enemy can't take it from you. Even in the Old Testament, we understand the truth of God's sovereign will and his ability to protect us. So turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 5 through verse 8. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Hallelujah. It says verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Where can you go when life is hard? Well, he's there with you. He will protect you. You can turn to him, and he will protect your heart and your mind as well. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7 declares that truth. Rapid text reading here. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I like that. It's like, does he really mean that? Yep, he really does. He said it twice. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that passage because it does not matter what the circumstance is. The circumstance may change or it may not. But the peace of God will be there with you regardless. And when the peace of God surpasses understanding, I'm going to give you a little hint. That means the circumstance didn't change. Because it would make sense if it did. Lord, here's my problem. It's a really difficult hurdle I got to get over. Oh, let me just take care of that. Let's get that out of your way. Thank you, Lord. I have peace now. And that makes perfect sense. But when it doesn't get out of the way and you still got to go over the hurdle or you got to go through that, oh, man, that's hard. That's a heavy, oh. It's like, Lord, this is not easy. No, it's not. But my peace is with you. I feel it, Lord. I'm at peace. I don't understand why. But thank you for the peace. He will protect you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through 18, a passage I have not read for a very long time. It's very interesting. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. This is a personal, open-hearted letter here. Do your best to come to me soon, he says. Just so you know, this is right before he dies. His last letter. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. This is a grieving heart here. Writing a letter to his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's lonely. He's like, come to me soon. Demas has betrayed me. He's deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens have gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me, which is ironic being he didn't want him on his missionary journey earlier, but we'll just leave that aside. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all, parchments. Now you're probably wondering, who cares? Why are we reading this? Because this is real. This is not fantasy. This is a real man living in a real prison in a very difficult situation where he's about to die. And he's lonely. He's feeling betrayed. And he's needing to find the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm, he says. The Lord will repay him according to his deed. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposes our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Whoa. This is supposed to be encouraging, I know. May it not be charged against them. Now he's forgiving them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from evil deed, every evil deed, and bring me safely into his kingdom, his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you're not aware of what actually happened with his death soon to follow, you might misunderstand that he's saying, oh, the Lord's going to get me out of jail. He's going to get me out of prison. Everything's going to be just fine. But that's not what he said. He said, I'm going to be rescued from this life and brought into his presence. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely, where? Into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He will protect you, yes. And he will finish what he began in you, yes. And when your day comes, he will take you safely home. Yes and yes. Hallelujah. So what's the challenge? Finish it. Join with the Spirit of God and finish the work that he began in you. That's the encouraging word for you. Yes, you make mistakes. Yes, you actually make some bad choices. We can work with that. Let's turn it on for God. Let's grow and learn from it. We are sanctified. We're growing in his Spirit to be more like him every day. Let's partner with God and let's finish this thing. Let's keep on keeping on for him. Let's be encouraged that we are special, we are beautiful, creations of the Holy Spirit in us, and we can do it with the help of him. Hallelujah. It requires dedication to finish the work. Will you join with me to finish the work? Finish what he started. Are you willing to fully commit to the Lord your God? Meaning he's number one. I was sharing with the class this morning about the transitional growth of the Holy Spirit in your life as a man, putting God first over self, right? And then I said, and then I realized that, you know, it's not God who's first and then I'm second. It's supposed to be God's first and then my wife is second and then I'm third. All the men and women said amen. That's kind of weak. Let's grow with it. Come on. So yeah, and so not only that, okay, well, God's first and wife second, me third. Well, wait a minute, I got kids. So really, if I really love my kids, then they come first before me too. Now, so now one, two, three, now I'm four. Well, wait a minute now. What about my rest of my family, my friends, my neighbors that need to know Jesus? And before you know it, you're no longer God first, me second, or God first, me fifth. It's like God first, wife, children, family, neighbors, strangers, everyone comes first. And I'm no longer part of the equation. Because my life is not me. It's you. It's him. I'm not there. There's days. Thank you, Lord. I did that one right. And there's those days. Lord, so sorry. Please forgive me. I put me first. I put me second. Come on. I put me third. I'm sorry. The day is going to come when the work that God started in me will be completed. but it's not today. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's next year. All I know is tomorrow I better be growing in Him a little bit more. Because He wants to finish it. How about you? Will you partner with Him to finish the work that He began in you? The more you become less, the more you see the growth of His life in you. I'm just going to close with that. I do want to read, I suppose, Philippians 3, the last scripture reading I have. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. The word means complete. But I press on to take it my own, to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Here's Paul, who honestly, he puts most of us to shame, admitting I'm not quite there yet. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For those of us who are mature, think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. With minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to the subject of all things to Himself. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? Let's press on and let's see Him finish the work that He began in us. Amen. So that we can slick our hair back when the day comes and say, that's about as good as it gets. And I pray that's true for you when your time comes. Grandpa wasn't perfect, but he is now complete. And so I'm so thankful for that. And I pray that I can do the same when my day comes. Will you work with me as family to see it happen? May we work together in us to see it happen. He will finish what He began. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for the word of encouragement. We're not there yet. But we will continue to grow in You. I pray that all here within hearing, whether it's through this present audience of believers, whether it's online, wherever it may be, however it may be, I pray, Lord God, that we will all commit to growing in You, to commit to the process of becoming more like You, as You continue the work You began. I pray, Lord God, Your blessing to be upon each and every one as we go into our world to grow and to love and to show others how wonderful You truly are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great evening.